this is ESPN's Dave Lamont, and you're listening to the Sports Objective Podcast, the unofficial podcast of the Pirates.
I'm a real pirate fan, I don't fear not a man. I'm a participant, you're just the audience. Me, it's in my nature to see just how loud I can get before, during, and after the game, man.
Yo, 15 minutes after 15 sips of this carbonated beverage got me ready to rip a hole in the ear of anyone who dare sits and screams for any other team with their lips. This is pirate country, so poppy, we don't mix. If you ain't rocking purple and gold, then you don't fit. Now you don't gotta worry, they're trying to throw fists, but all you know to get salty, I ain't talk about chips. It's not your stadium, don't be surprised if you're cheesing all hard and get thrown the evil eye. For some, it's just a game, but numbers are never live. You ever seen this much love for a team in your whole lives? Screaming at the ref, wheezing out of breath, steaming out the neck like it's life or death. That's how we bringing it. What you thinking?
Welcome into the TSO locker room here. In fact, we're very excited. Pirates get a big victory on Saturday, 45-3 over the Temple Owls. With us right now, we have the whole gang. We have Kyle from LaGrange Barber. How are you, man?
What's going on, Dave? Just sitting here. Had an eye procedure done at Duke today. Got a terrible headache, but it is what it is. Always great to get a victory. Awesome performance by the guys Saturday. Proud of, particularly proud of the defense. Proud of the whole football team, 45-3. And hopefully this week, next time, we will all be sitting here bowl eligible.
Sounds good. Bubba Rosenbaum, what's up, man?
Excited about the direction of the program, like Kyle mentioned, but you know, specifically, you know, with Gyro on, looking forward to talking about the defense and the type of football they've been playing in recent weeks.
No doubt about it. Speaking of defense, a guy that knows a lot about defense, more than I'll ever know, from the Logan era in the mid-90s, former linebacker for the Pirates, Matt Semenza. Buddy, what's up?
What's going on, guys? Hope everybody's doing well. Gyra, hope you're having a good day. Really pleased with the performance the other night against Temple. You know, Gyra, I felt bad for the defense because you guys were pitching a shutout. And unfortunately, we had the turnover there on offense, which led to 3 points. Shutout pretty bad. But other great performance by the defense.
Can you say that again, please?
He was saying he felt bad for you guys because you were pitching a shutout, and you pitched a shutout up until that the turnover, and then they get the 3 points. He said he felt bad for you guys because you were doing so well and had a goose egg up there on the scoreboard, and then they get the 3 points with like 6:57 to go in the game.
Oh yeah, I was mad about it too. Not mad, but I was just like, dang, it's all good.
And hey, it's better to be 45-3 for the Pirates versus the reverse, right? So a win is a win. And you guys came out, I told you in the green room right before the show, you guys came out and you made a statement. I felt like a statement that, you know, in the past, maybe we win that game or we lose a close one, but you guys came out and you took care of business. And I felt like the one thing that I was looking for this team, you guys are, it seems like in the last couple weeks, you're getting the killer instinct, and I feel like you guys have that now. There was no question who was going to win that game on Saturday from the start of the game, in my opinion.
Yeah, I felt like we dominated the whole way through as well.
Yeah, there was not like a where it's a 50-50 game, like you're not sure, it's a fourth quarter game. You guys took control of that game, and you never let go.
It was definitely.
Jared, does it surprise you that you guys, I'm going to call it a shutout because field goal special teams. Does it surprise you that you guys pitched a shutout and didn't force a turnover?
Not to me. I kind of knew, I felt going in that we were a lot better than they were. I didn't think they could throw the ball against us. And I knew if we stopped the run that they probably would have a hard time scoring. So it wasn't a surprise to me.
Yeah, it was surprising to me you guys held them to 0 points on defense. It was just surprising to me that you guys did it without forcing a turnover. I mean, I don't know how often you see that kind of dominant defensive performance without forcing a turnover. That was what was unique to me.
Yeah, I think they were like 3-for-13 or 3-for-16 on third down. It was something like that. I can't remember.
Yeah, that's not going to get the job done. It'll get the job done for us.
Most definitely.
Yeah,
exactly. 82% on third down. That's all I remember.
Wow. Yeah. We'll take that. We'll take it, no doubt. And I know, Bubba, when it comes to with the game with Temple, another thing that Coach Houston I was really happy with is the fact he was talking about how you guys in the post game, how you guys, how about the older guys that have had where they had games that didn't go well early in their career, but now they've won the last 2 years against Temple. I think it's the first time, guys. Was it the first time since '96 we beat Temple at home? Well, it's been a long, long time.
It was '95.
Okay. I know Coach Houston said that, which is amazing.
Well, that's a bit skewed, Dave, because we weren't playing them for a long time.
For a good while, yeah, but still, the main thing is we're at 5 wins now, Jaira. How's the mood of the team? I know you guys are going to be stoked knowing you've got 3 more games left. You have Memphis on the road. You guys have been playing really well this year, as I was telling you before we started the TSO locker room with you, that this team is playing so much better, especially this is one of the best road teams we've had in a good while.
Yeah, we're happy right now. We just we know we're one away, and in the past, at this point in the season, it was pretty much over, really. Nobody was really happy either, like just being in the facility and stuff because of all the losing that we've been going through. Just, the team morale was never high at this point in the year, but yeah, it's high now. We're just ready to get number 6, and that's really all we're worried about right now.
Jaira, you guys have played really well on the road this year, even though the win-loss total on the road doesn't show that. You got the big win at Marshall, but you know, you played as well as you could against UCF, came up short. You played great against Houston, came up short, and it's not indicative of, you know, when you look at the win-loss record on the road of how well you guys have played on the road. Obviously, you want to get win number 6, but yeah. How important is it for you guys also to go on the road and get a conference victory?
We don't really talk about that as much or really think about it, but like you said, we left 2 out that we should have won in UCF and Houston. And we beat Marshall, and then App State game. Well, that was neutral, but it was still an away game for us. But like you said, we left out. I feel like we let go of Houston and UCF, like I said. But it's not really something we really think about. But it would be nice to win on the road, though, because it felt great beating Marshall, getting back on the plane. So definitely like that feeling again.
Yeah, and this one would be huge. I mean, you want to win as many games as you can. Right now, we can still win 9 football games. And when I say we, I mean East Carolina, including the bowl game.
Yeah.
So, you know, I know the goal is 6. That's the talk. But you got 3 regular season games left. You don't want to wait around until Cincinnati to try to get bowl eligible. I would hope you guys – I mean, are you guys fired up to try to get that done this weekend?
Oh, yes, most definitely. Yeah. We was talking about it amongst each other after the game on Saturday. Just ready to get to this Saturday and play Memphis, but try not to make the game no bigger than what it is, though. Just keep the mentality you've been having. I think we'll be fine.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. You don't want to put added pressure on yourself, but you know, my advice, and you know, you don't need my advice. You got plenty of coaches to advise you. Just embrace the moment.
Yeah.
Don't stress about it. Just be in the moment, embrace the moment, and go out there and have fun and play East Carolina defense the way y'all been playing, and you should be in good shape.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Now, Jaira, after the game on Saturday, Coach Houston in his post game remarks, he said that he was almost afraid that we were too jacked up to play. So, just talk about the mindset of the team going into that game against Temple.
He said he thought we were too jacked up to play against Temple.
He said he thought we may be, but as it turned out, you know, we were where we needed to be, and we went out there and executed.
Yeah, I felt it was the same way as any other game. in my opinion. Really. We knew it was a game. We knew that as long as we do what we have to do, that we would win big. Now, that's how we felt. At least I know that's how I felt. And a couple people I talked to felt the same way. Like, we didn't think they were on the same level as us as a team.
It's very exciting, Jared, when you look at this defense. Like I was telling you, that this defense is the best defense we've had in a long time. I mean, you probably have to go back to guys help me.
09.
Yeah, definitely. The 09 conference champions with Conference USA. You guys are attacking the ball. The tackling has been phenomenal. Something we've struggled in years past, in the last handful of years. The tackling's been great. I tell you, the depth of each position on defense now, really, I think is a big. I think that. How do you guys feel in the fourth quarter? Because it looks like you guys are. I know I love Big John. I think he's fantastic, but you guys look like it's such great shape. And the fact that you don't have to play a whole bunch of reps that in years past may be a problem.
Oh, yeah, going to fourth quarter, we're, yeah, we don't really be gassed as a team. And also the fact that we get off the field a lot helps us when it comes to, we haven't been playing as many snaps as we have in the past. Like, the game film would be, like, no more than 70 plays. But in the past, we'd be on the field for, like, 90 to 100 plays. So, really – part of that is really us being able to get off the field on third down. And then, like you said, the rotations amongst the different position groups and the defense has helped as well.
So that's really Gyro, on Saturday afternoon, you guys certainly did get off the field on third down. Temple was 3 out of 16. And a couple of things kind of piggybacking off of what Dave was saying regarding the depth we have. You know, Coach Houston said we've been playing about 25 guys a game on defense, something like that. And looking over the box score, I knew the tackles had really been spread out. But, you know, on Saturday, Miles Berry had a tremendous game, 7 tackles. He was the only person that had more than 5 tackles.
You said he was the only person?
Yes, he was. We had, I think, at least 2 or 3 with 5, but he was the only one with more than 5.
Oh, I didn't know that. I haven't seen the box score.
But my point being just, you know, how it's a very much a team effort and how that depth is really showing.
Yeah, it definitely has been. Like we said, we're just always together with everything. Everybody knows their job when they come on the field. Everybody knows that if you do what you're supposed to do and make the plays that comes your way, then you'll be successful. And yeah, with as much rotating as we do, the stats are spread amongst all of us. I guess you could say it's definitely going to be like that because of our rotation.
Jarre, what do you see on film out of Memphis that stands out? I know they've had prolific offenses in recent history. They're kind of Jekyll and
what stands out to me is really they have a great passing game. I say that's the quarterback puts in the air maybe 45 times a game. Yeah, so they put it in the air a lot. Really, that's the staple of the offense. Really, the passing game and a lot of RPO action and stuff like that. They run the ball. I don't feel like their run is as effective. Their running game isn't as effective as their passing game, if you ask me. A lot of the big plays have came from the passing game. So I'll say really just vertical passing game, RPOs, and then a lot of quick game too. That's really the staple of their offense.
So that'd be some more zone coverage for you guys, that you don't have to do a whole bunch of blitzing and stuff if you know that they're going to be passing a lot?
It just depends how coach feels about it. He likes to blitz a lot. He doesn't like to, drop 7 or 8 and just give the quarterback all day to read the defense and pick us apart. He more of like to put pressure on the quarterback. My fault. And when it comes to the coverage, it just depends on how he feels about the receivers and their like ability just to get open and stuff like that. Sometimes, and like, when it comes to a man or zone, if he thinks the quarterback is capable of making those throws in those tight windows and stuff like that, whether or not he wants them to play man or zone, or even like matchup zones and stuff like that, where you're matching routes and stuff, it just depends on how coach feels about really the quarterback and the receiver. And also how quick the quarterback is getting the ball out.
And one of the things that you guys, another thing I want to compliment you guys on is the fact that between you guys being the players and the coaching staff, you guys are doing an excellent job with definitely when it comes to making adjustments at halftime and I guess even adjustments on the fly during the game, more so than we've seen. I've seen that a lot in recent times, but you can tell that the adjustments that you guys are making is definitely working.
Yeah, Coach Harrell, he sees a lot more also because Coach Harrell's the one up in the box, and then he'll come down at halftime and just get on the board and talks about what he's seen and what's maybe hurt us a little bit or like something maybe we didn't go over or harp on as much during the week. He'll put it up on the board and stuff like that. Or if it is something we harped on the board is during the week and maybe they changed it a little bit from last game, he'll get on the board and talk about it. Or even on the sideline between series, they have little whiteboards and they'll be ask us if what we thought about this or like what we're seeing, just different in-game adjustments. They get a lot of feedback from us too, asking us what we're seeing, what's going on, and what we think, what like adjustments we think we should make that'll help us to play faster.
Dave, as far as Memphis's passing attack, their top receiver is Calvin Austin, 65 receptions for 989 yards, 8 touchdowns, and averaging over 15 yards per reception. So now hopefully we'll be able to get some heat on the quarterback, and hopefully Jaquan McMillan will be back and ready to go this week, and we'll play the way we've been playing.
Yeah, Jaira, what's when it comes to Memphis and obviously we're talking about on the road with this team? I know both teams, Memphis is still fighting for a bowl. You guys with the Pirates still fighting for a bowl. I know the line as far as guys, I think it's dropped even more. It was 6, but I'm not sure what it is today. I heard that it's dropped a couple more maybe.
I haven't looked today. I've been kind of busy.
Still 6. Okay.
I haven't looked. I'm not sure. Jaira, looking at this Memphis team, they beat SMU. They got a really nice win over Mississippi State, but lost to the same Temple team we just beat. I have no idea how, because Temple is god-awful. And Memphis is a pretty good football team, particularly on offense. If you guys go on the road and beat Memphis, do you think this would be the best team you guys have beaten in terms of quality of opponent?
Marshall. Probably between them and Marshall. It just depends. I think so, probably, but it might be in terms of all the athletes they got, but I wouldn't really know until, I guess, that the game, because I don't know how well Memphis' defense plays as well. So, like, when it comes to the quality of opponent as a whole, like the whole team, I wouldn't really be able to answer that until after the game.
I got you. How do you feel you guys match up with their offense? You mentioned they throw the ball a lot, certainly more than the last two opponents we played, South Florida and Temple. How do you guys think you match up with them?
I think we'll be fine. I think we match up well. Yeah, in all positions. I like our secondary a lot versus anybody.
I don't know if you can talk about this. Bubba just alluded to it. Just asking generically, how's the health of the entire secondary? Is everybody looking pretty good?
Yeah, we're all pretty good. Of course, banged up, just little bumps and bruises and stuff. Nothing long-term for anybody. Like, yeah, we're good.
Okay.
Hey, Jaira, this is Matt. I hope you guys can hear me okay. Thinking about your defense, I mean, I'm starting to see a lot of confidence, a lot of swagger, which does come with experience. I made the comment, I believe it was last night, that if you really look at the last 6 quarters, you guys have only given up 3 points. If you look at the last 8, the only touchdowns you've given up were because of, unfortunately, the offense turned the ball over and gave the other team a short field. So I'm thinking you guys are pretty jacked up right now, feeling very confident. And then one more thing I wanted to get your thoughts on. You look around the country this week and the team South Carolina that you guys held to 20 points, just hung over 40 on the University of Florida. So I hope you guys are feeling good about yourselves. Just wanted to get your take on that and, you know, kind of the mood of the defense right now.
Yeah, we definitely are. It's not like something we're just like ignoring and stuff like that. Like, we know we're playing well and we're definitely proud of it. So, like, yeah, and we're definitely have a lot of confidence because of what we've been able to accomplish throughout the season this far. So, yeah, it's definitely not something we've just, like, ignored. We definitely appreciate, like, have taken time to appreciate how well we've been playing.
Jara, the narrative is obviously, at this point, bowl, get six. What will it mean to you personally if we get number six this Saturday? I mean, how excited are you to go to a bowl?
I mean, it would mean everything to me because that's really all I've been trying to do since I got here is try to change the narrative of the program. We've had three losing seasons. It didn't mean everything to me. That was really my only goal coming in the season. I just wanted to get us to a bowl game.
Yeah, and you guys have a chance to accomplish more than that. That's what's so cool about it.
Yeah.
With three games to go, you guys have almost achieved your goal. And then you guys, you know, you can achieve there. You know, really, East Carolina has great tradition, but the amount of 8 and 9 win seasons is really not as many as people think. And that's still out there for y'all.
Yeah, it is. We went out. That's 8.
Yeah. Well, 9 with a bowl.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's y'all could be in rare air. I mean, just get to a bowl game would be a hell of an accomplishment, but. I mean, you guys could really, particularly with Cincinnati being the last game of the year. I know the only game that even matters now is Memphis, but I'm just saying, this team could still do a lot of big things.
Yeah, most definitely.
And you guys with the Jara, as far as Memphis, what do you think that you guys have to do to come away with a dub? And then we've been, by the way, folks, we've been telling everybody, when the Pirates win on Saturday, we want a whole bunch of people at the Pitt Greenville Airport. There to celebrate with you guys. It's very special to have Pirate Nation there.
Yeah, really. If we get bowl eligible this Saturday, please, Pirate Nation, like Dave is saying, come out and welcome this team back. It's been 7 years. How old were you 7 years ago, Jara?
14.
He was 14 years old the last time East Carolina went to a bowl.
I see you remember watching it.
Do you? The Birmingham Bowl?
Yeah, against Florida.
Yep.
Yeah. That was my freshman year of high school.
There you go.
That's how long it's been.
Perspective.
And so if we get there, Pirate Nation, if we're bowl eligible this Saturday, game's at 12 o'clock, so the team will be flying back into Greenville at a reasonable time. Let's have a big crowd at the airport if they get number six this Saturday.
And by the way, Jara, our stats guy would be Bubba, not me. So I want to give him credit. He said 9 wins would be the second best season since Skip, being Skip Holtz, in top four since 1999. So still got a lot to play for. What do you got with Memphis? I mean, this team, this game is a 50-50 game. I think both teams are, I think, evenly matched. Both teams are hungry. What do you think you're going to have to do to beat Memphis on Saturday?
Really, I just feel like, if we stop the passing game, then I feel like we win. That's how I feel. Because I don't feel as if – I don't think their running game is as strong. And it's really – running is really not even what they want to do. They really want to throw the ball. So I really feel like if we stop the passing game, then we'll be good. That's really the key to it. Especially the RPO. They can't complete those RPOs and stuff like that. And we force them to try to throw the ball down the field. I think we'll win.
I think that's really the
biggest thing for us.
No doubt. It's going to be great. And I want Matt, do you have another question?
Yeah, I think that's a good observation because I've observed that, you know, Memphis does like to – they like play action and they do like to take their shots down the field quite a few times per game. So I think that's a great observation. Jira, I did have another question for you, kind of shifting gears from Memphis. When you're in practice every day and you're going against the scout team – is there, you know, and just taking a look at some of these young guys in the program, could be a wide receiver, could be a running back, but somebody kind of off the radar, you know, is there anybody that's like really jumping out on the practice field as just like, you know, a player of the future, or just a great playmaker that you guys can see in practice, but the fans can't see yet?
You said offensively or just in general?
Yeah, offensively, when you're in practice, is there anybody that's really jumping out to you on that side of the ball? Maybe a freshman or somebody that's not playing yet, but you see it in practice.
I would say really a lot of our scout players. We have a scout receiver named Choi, the freshman Choi. I don't even know his last name. I don't know how I don't know his last name. He went 14, Choi. I think he'll be good. We have another scout receiver. Actually, a couple of them. TJ Lockley, I think he'll be good. Also, Tyree Saunders, I think he'll be good too. Those are three receivers that I think will be real good in the future. Two of them are freshmen, and one of them is a sophomore, like his second year in college. So yeah, those three especially, I would say.
And is the speed, you know, I know when those guys were recruited, they were, you know, really speedy guys that could, you know, type of guys that could, you know, run those shallow crossing routes and really, you know, beat man coverage. Are you seeing that kind of speed out of those guys in practice?
Yeah, they can run. Especially Troy can really run.
Okay. All
definitely.
Right.
Bobby, do you know who he's talking about when he says Troy? Do you have a last name?
I don't, but I wanted to ask Jira about Coach Houston had referenced Walter Simmons. Tell us about Walter Simmons III. And he's a very highly regarded athlete and quarterback. Coach Houston said he has to work on his throwing, but he said he has elite feet.
I forgot about Walt. Oh yeah, Walt. He definitely can run around and stuff like that. And he shows – he has – you can see it because he's our scout quarterback. He has flashes of his throwing ability in practice where he'll hit guys on the money. But like as Coach Houston said, he just works on it a little more. I think he'll be fine.
But he's got good feet. Is he going to run Navy scout team?
Oh, yeah, he is.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. He definitely could be a great dual threat, most definitely.
Good deal.
And Jira, we were talking before we came on and going into the locker room that you guys, with a big win on Saturday, we had a lot of recruits there. Great to see the Pirate victory because that's going to help recruiting out a lot, right? When you win 45-3?
Yeah, most definitely.
Very excited. That's what
they got to see.
I wish they would have seen a bigger crowd. I think the meteorologists are a little bit to blame for that, calling for heavy rain and ended up not raining until the very end of the game. But I was disappointed a little bit that it looked like maybe there was 20,000 people there at max.
Yeah, they had it listed at 33,000, but yeah, it looked it didn't look like 33,000.
There was no way there was 33,000 people there.
Yeah, well, that's what I know. I'm just saying that's what they had the attendance listed.
Tickets sold.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Jira, man, thank you so much for coming on.
It's Troy Lewis out of Chesterfield, Virginia.
Yeah, Lewis, that's his last name.
Okay, out of Chesterfield. We got a few players from Chesterfield, Virginia.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, Jira, thank you so much, man, and we'll let you get back to it. And I know that you guys, this is your night off, so enjoy your day off, the rest of it, and good luck to you. On Saturday, we're very excited. And like we said, we want to have a huge crowd at Pitt Greenville Airport. We feel like you guys have got a good chance to win. And when we get the big victory, then we want a lot of Pirates there to welcome you guys home.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Have a great one.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Jared Wilson there, a part of our TSO locker room. We have each and every week. And by the way, folks, we have Ryan Jones. Speaking of, man, we've been talking about guys that breakout game, and he was like steps away from three touchdowns, but he had Bubba two touchdowns and I think it was 10 catches. Is that right?
I don't think it was that many receptions. I want to say it was six or seven.
Six. I'm sorry. No, it was. That's right. It was six
over
100
yards receiving.
Over 100 yards receiving.
He had 102 yards receiving, and that was just the second time that East Carolina's had two 100-yard tight ends. And I say two. In 1990, it was Luke Fisher that did it twice. So this time, a little bit different twist because you had Shane Calhoun and now Ryan Jones.
Yeah, what Dave was doing was seeing into the future. Ryan's going to have 10 receptions against Memphis.
That sounds good to me. I'll take it. As long as he can have one, if it's the game winning.
Exactly.
So, like, guys, and Jira was telling me that he's heard Boca Raton Bowl sit here today, but I know that
that was one of the projections that came out today. It's all over the place. Nobody knows at this point. We got to get six first, but yeah, there were several projections that came out yesterday, but one that came out today was Boca Raton against Toledo, which I'll take it. I'd rather go to Myrtle Beach or Annapolis, because obviously those two bowls, Military Bowl and the Myrtle Beach Bowl, a lot closer than Boca Raton. But if it's Boca Raton against Toledo, it'll be what it'll be. Let's go. Let's do it. Let's make the Rockets.
Well, Kyle, and we'll have a road trip, right? We'll meet Bub up and
I definitely will be in Myrtle Beach or Annapolis. Boca it may or may not. So I'm hoping it's Myrtle or Annapolis.
Matt, are you going to fly down for that game if they go to Boca Raton?
Guys, listen, any hint of a warm weather bowl just to get out of New England, I'll be there. I don't care if it's in Boca, if it's in Hawaii, I will be there. As long as the weather is warm and I can get out of New England, I'm good.
Now, do you consider Annapolis, Maryland, warm weather?
It's balmy. I'll consider that balmy.
Well, then Myrtle Beach will be damn right tropical then.
Absolutely, man. When you live in New England, when a 50-degree day might as well be tropical paradise.
Yeah, I guess so, in December in Connecticut. Yeah, I bet you a typical Myrtle Beach December day is probably about 55 degrees. I'd feel pretty good.
No doubt, guys. I'd be happy with any of the bowl games, though, honestly. And, really just I think what an opportunity. You know, what an opportunity for this team. Like you guys said earlier, we have three games left to continue making a statement. And I'll be honest, when I saw that 8-point line – I felt a little insulted, honestly. Which might be an overstatement, but I thought that line was very high. I was thinking it might be 3-4 somewhere in that range. So I hope that's something that the team sees and you just use it as a little extra motivation, a little extra chip. So we shall see. But what an opportunity ahead this weekend.
Yeah, I thought it would be 3-5. I think they're giving Memphis a lot of credit for being a good home team. I don't know that I've ever seen a team that's more Jekyll and Hyde. They are horrible on the road and thus far played great at home. I keep saying it. I really wish we had them in Greenville, but unfortunately you can't do nothing about the schedule.
Hey, I think this is a good opportunity though, guys. We've been knocking at the door, like we were talking about earlier, UCF and Houston. We had those games. We had those teams on the ropes, didn't finish them off. Here's a chance to make a statement for this team on Saturday in the Liberty Bowl, where we have a chance to knock this team out, and it's on the road.
Yeah, and like I was telling Jira, evidently something that really hadn't been discussed against the team. We need a good road win in conference. And, one thing I do wonder about Memphis is they just beat SMU, top 25 team. They're 5-4, so their season's been – disappointing by their recent standards, but in recent years they've destroyed us. Yeah, so they'll watch film, but I do wonder if they'll think that, particularly seeing an 8-point line, if they'll just be like, yeah, this is East Carolina, this is number 6 for us, no problem, and then we go hit them in the mouth. That's what I hope happens.
No question.
I think that's a great point. I was thinking the same thing, Kyle. I mean, you look at, like, the thing about college football, it's such a week-to-week game. And a lot of these teams, when they have a huge emotional win, they can't seem to recover the following week. You saw it this week with Michigan State. You know, they go up to Purdue and get their doors blown off. I think you saw some of that with maybe SMU also going down to Memphis. And then, obviously Memphis able to take care of business at home last week. Typically the team who's more prepared to play, physically and also emotionally, is going to come out with the dub in college football. So, maybe we can catch them off guard a little bit.
Yeah, SMU kind of the opposite. They had just lost a heartbreaker to Houston.
Yep.
And probably just were not ready to go against Memphis. And honestly, SMU, I'm going to be honest with you, in my opinion of SMU football under Sonny Dykes, they are impressive, but they are soft. And if you let them get on a roll, they'll have a field day with you. But if you get up and challenge them and hit them in the mouth, sometimes if you play physical, SMU can't handle it.
Well, I'll tell you
that's one of the things that did not surprise me, you know, when we beat them to close out last season and then lost the way we did to App State because of the differences there in the style of play.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%, Bubba. It's, I do think now we are getting to the point where we can go against other teams that like to play like we do.
Yeah,
but, definitely. I'd love to play App again, to be honest with you. I'm not saying the result would be different, but I guarantee you the game would.
Oh, yeah, and we're playing that. That's one of the great things, guys, is the very fact that this team – don't you guys think this team is each and every week exactly what you want? They're getting better every single week. That's what's so exciting to see is that there's some teams that, you know, peak too early, or there's some teams that are obviously a big disappointment. And this team is, as I said last night, it's November to remember.
Yeah, unless that trend continues. If they get better again this week – that probably means we are giddy, because I'm going to tell you something, guys. I'm sure you all feel the same. Win number six is going to feel, to me, it's going to feel like winning a conference championship or a bowl game or something yeah. like that. It has just been so long since we've been bowl eligible. You know, if we don't do it at this point, I don't even think I can watch bowl games this year. we've got to get number six, and it sure would be nice to get it out of the way this weekend. Because if not, you're putting a lot of pressure on yourself against Navy. And don't even want to talk about what happens if we don't get it there.
Isn't there, not to put it out there, but I'll say it anyway, but at 5, if hypothetically speaking, if we were 5-7, isn't our APR good enough to get in a bowl this year?
It depends on if any 5-7 teams are needed. You don't take 5-7
yeah,
teams.
So I understand that.
Teams are gone. I don't know. I don't know where APR is. I think that's a stupid way to do that, by the way. The NCAA comes up with some of the stupidest crap. APR decides which 5-win teams get to go to bowls, if not enough 6-6 teams. I don't know. I don't know where APR is. Who the hell knows?
Let's not worry about it. Yeah.
It's a stupid rule.
I agree.
But, you know, I don't know where we are right now in terms of there not being enough bowl teams. I know there is a lot of bowls. I believe there's
43.
Two new bowls this year. The Fenway Park Bowl and the one out in L.A. The Los Angeles Bowl or whatever it's called.
So it'll be that is that 45, Bubba?
Well,
it's well over 40.
The Poinsettia Bowl went away, so I'm not sure to be honest 44. With you.
Okay. All right. Yep. Well, that's something obviously right now we need to focus on. Our bowl this week is Memphis. We're going Indeed. To the Liberty yeah. Bowl.
And then we can but talk about whatever bowl we bowl. Want.
Hey, yep. hey, what do you think, Kyle? We're going to Liberty Bowl.
Yeah, and after the week after that, we're going to the Military Bowl. So, you know,
that's right.
Let's take care of business and actually get to go to a real bowl.
Hey, Kyle, I got another one for you. On on Thanksgiving weekend, we're going to the Barbecue
don't
Bowl.
Don't say it. Yeah, you said it.
Okay. All right, I'm sorry. Matt, I had to go there, Matt. By the way, I got to give Semenza a lot of credit and appreciate all that your contributions to the show. But Semenza has a great idea. I will give you major props. It's the only time in the history of my Christmas, I guess, time that I will wear a ugly sweater in my lifetime. And I think we should do that. Everybody wear an ugly sweater for the Cincinnati game. And Matt, I have to give you credit for coming up with the idea of the ugly sweater. And let's make it the Cincinnati game. Everybody wear an ugly sweater.
Matt, you or Dave, you need to. I mean, we can't just talk it up on the podcast. If you guys really believe in that idea, think it would draw fans. You guys need to email. My brain's not working. Homeboy.
Ryan Robinson?
No, hell no.
Eric Ward.
Eric Ward, thank you. Email Eric Ward and let him know. I personally like my giving away $1,000 to three people if your ticket was scanned to come through this gate. I think that might draw more people than ugly sweaters.
But that's great.
But either
or all of the above.
Yeah, all of the above, sure. But it's I don't know. It's a fun idea. It's
would you wear one, Kyle? And you know, I'm not a ugly. Let me be very clear. I am not an ugly sweater.
We should have did it for the Temple game in honor of Bill Cosby.
Oh well,
you know, the king of ugly sweaters.
Here's the thing, right? Does anybody? First of all, thank you, Dave. That was kind of a group idea too, but I'll take the credit for it. No problem. But you know, does anybody else around the country, has anybody ever tried that? I'm curious. And you know, the thought process is maybe it's just a little something extra to get the students involved that weekend. You know, it's just something a little different to create a little more excitement. So, hey, you never know. But I'm also in favor of the giving away some $1,000 gift cards as well. So,
whatever. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at it, you say, well, that's just giving away money. But $3,000 ain't very much money to East Carolina. And you got a chance to win $1,000 to three different people. But you got to be there. You can't just purchase a ticket. Your ticket has to be scanned. And, you know, if we got 35,000 people there, you know, that's a, you know, three people are going to walk out with that money. And maybe if you sit in Townbank Tower, you're excluded because you don't need it.
Wow. Well, Matt, thank you so much for coming on. Appreciate you so much. And we'll see you next time. And certainly we'll be back. If you want to join us tomorrow for the overtime, we're doing basketball. Pirates taking on South Carolina State. We appreciate you, dude, for everything you do for us.
Awesome. Thank you so much, guys. Have a great night.
All right. Have a good one. All right. Matt Semenza there. And I know that he has a meeting to go to, so I want to let him slide. Guys, I'm very excited about Saturday. I know we have our basketball team tomorrow night, South Carolina State again, our overtime. We have another great thing is Thursday, a preview. Right, Bubba? We'll have the preview of that'll be so exciting with us with it going to Memphis. There's a Pirate basketball overtime for those watching right now. Tomorrow night after 9 o'clock. So it'll be after 9 o'clock. South Carolina State coming in the first game opening of the
20. Are they the Bulldogs? What is South Carolina State?
That's they correct. Are. They're the Bulldogs.
All right.
So we can get a chance to beat the Bulldogs tomorrow night.
Well, now, wait a minute. Don't say that. I'm gonna isolate that and send it to PETA.
Oh, my Lord. I didn't mean it that way. Well, thanks, Kyle.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. I love you, too.
You're actually coached by a former Memphis assistant. He was hired back in March, the end of March. Tony Madlock, he had been on Penny Hardaway's staff there for at least 2 or 3 years. And then, you know, prior to that, he had been, I think, a longtime staffer down at Ole Miss. So he's a guy that has a lot of quality experience in his first year as a head coach there at South Carolina State.
I remember when he was a lawyer.
Madlock.
Yeah, this is Madlock with the D.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kyle, you were never good at spelling, right?
No, not very.
Okay.
But I'm sure Andy Griffith would have been an excellent basketball coach.
He could do anything he wants. Yeah, no doubt, no doubt.
Have you guys ever seen the video where somebody took after the Panthers lost the Super Bowl, where they superimposed Cam Newton's head on Opie, and Andy's talking to him about being a good loser, and Cam's going, but I didn't win, I didn't win.
I missed
I'll see if I can find it. I'll send it to y'all. It's hysterical.
Okay. So we have the Pirate basketball overtime. That's tomorrow night after the game. And by the way, our good friends Patrick Johnson and Cy Seymour, they're going to be doing the ESPN Plus game tomorrow night. And of course, our good friend Jeff Charles will be on Learfield on the radio. And I believe with Michael Perry, the former assistant and head coach. So he's joining the radio side of things, so congratulations to him, and looking forward to hearing him call the game tomorrow night, and looking forward to, on the big screen, we'll have Patrick Johnson and Cy Seymour, so we'll have that, and a lot of people, by the way, get your season tickets, ecupirates.com, at 1-800-DIAL-ECU. We'll do that for men's and women's basketball, and we'll have Coach Kim McNeil on here pretty soon. We're working that out. So appreciate her her support of the program, and good luck to the ladies. They're starting their season up here, I believe this week too, right? Or is it next week? It's coming up. So good luck to them as well.
Yeah, Dave, I know you went to their tip-off dinner. How was that?
It was very impressive. They had it at Harvey Hall, and you guys, I'm the closest of – so I represented the Sports Objective, and she's always been very good to us. And so I went there, and it was well over 200 – I think it was well over 250 people there or more. They didn't expect that many people, and they actually had to move it to Harvey Hall. It was supposed to be in Telmbeck Tower, a more smaller event, and they did very well with it. So congratulations to them. My hat's off to them for a great job fundraising. And so we went there, and all the players, it was a great atmosphere.
You mean to tell me there's not a facility big enough in Telmbeck Tower to host a dinner for 250 people?
I guess not. They moved it to Harvey Hall.
That doesn't make a lick of sense.
I don't know, but that's what happened. So we had a great time, and they had a private auction. The meal was very good. It was just one of those events. We're really happy with the. It just goes to show you, the guys, that the one great thing about this fan base is it doesn't matter what the sport is, people are going to support it, and they had a great turnout, and very excited about to see what the ladies do on the hardwood this year. And I think we're going to be pleasantly surprised about basketball too. I know our friend B-Pay said last night, guys, he's predicting 16 wins. We got some shooters on this team. We'll see how they – you got five guys back, and then a lot of guys, new guys coming in, and the transfers. So we'll see how it plays out.
I wouldn't pretend to be able to analyze what the season's going to look like in basketball. I hope we're a fun team to watch and have a winning season. Definitely need to come out hot against South Carolina State. I mean, that's you. What's the next two after South Carolina State, guys?
We have South Carolina State tomorrow, and then on Friday you have Canisius, and then on Sunday at 4 you have Western Carolina.
All right.
Canisius opens tomorrow night down at Miami, and then Western Carolina opens tomorrow night at home against Bowling Green, and then on Friday night Western Carolina travels to Wake Forest. So
doesn't Canisius sounds like she would be a girl in your homeroom class that always made you laugh?
Canisius out of New York, right?
I mean, doesn't it? Though? I mean, Canisius is crazy. I mean, you know what I mean? Doesn't it sound like a girl that would be in your homeroom class that would always does to me?
I guess it's just you, Kyle Hutton. But you're right. The Myrtle Beach, the tournament is next week, right, Bubba, when we play against Oklahoma? If my memory serves me right. I believe that's right. Oklahoma next week, I believe. But right now, South Carolina State is on the map and on the clock, and looking forward to that. It's going to be great. Our Pirate preview.
Yes, that's game four, Oklahoma next Thursday night.
Next Thursday.
And, okay. Yes, Canisius is out of Buffalo.
Yeah. I remember that many years ago, learning about that school. That's what's great about it's over 350 schools, right, in Division I basketball, something like that. So a lot of teams like that you have to learn where they are. I don't know their mascot. I do know that
they are the Canisius Quiche.
They have a very unique mascot. They are the Golden Griffins.
Okay.
The hell is a griffin?
I don't know, but I just learned that. I knew about
it. It's a mythical creature.
All right. Well,
we learned a little bit. It looks like it's like half eagle and then half something else. I'm looking it up.
Okay. So it's like a phoenix. Okay. All right. It's a bird. Okay.
Yeah. I think it's kind of similar to, like the Rose Ramparts, and then you have
the Griffons is in Rocky
Mount. Rocky Mount Griffons.
Yeah. That's the only one I can think of off the top of my head. So anyway, we're going to have, we'll have all the coverage tomorrow night after the game. And that'll be, oh, and another thing I failed to mention, we'll have Ryan Jones. We'll have him tomorrow night at 6, right before the game, right, Bubba?
Yep.
So a lot of great programming that we have coming up, and we appreciate you guys viewing and listening. Obviously, thanks. By the way, before we go, Bubba, one more thing. Let's thank all our great sponsors, too. We've had a ton of great sponsors. And if you want to sponsor...
Yeah, pay your November bill, sponsors.
thesportsobj@gmail.com.
And guys, the Canisius mascot is the Golden Griffin, as I've already stated, but it says the college adopted it in 1932 after Charles Brady, a class of 33, wrote a story in a Canisius publication honoring Buffalo's centennial year as a city. Brady wrote about Rene Roberts, LaSalle's, Lake Griffin, the first European ship to sail the upper Great Lakes, built here in Buffalo, and the name stuck, and Canisius mascot was born. According to GoGriffs.com, the Griffin is a mythical creature of supposed gigantic size that has the head and forelegs and wings of an eagle, and the hindquarters, tails, and ears of a lion.
All right. All right. Sounds terrifying.
This is the mascot objective. That's our new.
It's not mythological objective. We're just gonna.
But
it's gonna be a new thing.
But yeah, I know last night on the program, I mentioned Eli's places, and it was pretty funny. I was watching one last night, and it was the one where Eli's number was retired at Ole Miss earlier this year, just here 2 or 3 weeks ago. And so it was he and Archie on campus there in Oxford, and they were making jokes about the size of Peyton's head. And Eli, I'm trying to remember who it was. I guess it was Eli asked Archie, he said, "Hey, Dad, would you rather have $10,000 or Peyton's helmet full of quarters? Which one do you think would be more?"
Wow.
And Archie was in tears. He couldn't even answer it. He just said, his face is red. He said, "I'm going to leave that one alone."
Yeah, that's like if you're a dad and they ask you, who's your favorite child?
My dad would say me.
You're the favorite, not Heather?
I think I got to be.
Really?
Yeah.
Can we get Frankie on the show, Bubba?
Yeah, we can get him on the show, yeah.
Frankie's awesome.
I'm pretty sure I can book him better than Bubba could. Bubba's pretty good at getting guests. I'm almost positive I could get Frankie Barr before Bubba gets.
Let's hope so.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll get him on. We'll ask him who's your favorite and see what he says.
And that would be great. I'm sure Heather would love that. Oh, yeah, Kyle is my favorite. Kyle's been my favorite for years now.
Well, yeah. This is very random, but something we just said, you know, kind of made me
think of it. This whole damn conversation is random, Bubba.
But it'd be pretty funny if we could get Coach Amato on at some point.
I had a great idea yesterday. You know, if we could get Steve Logan, Rick Minner, Jeff Bauer, and Rip Shearer all on together.
Oh, wow. Now that would be legendary right there.
We could get Minner.
We know we can get Minner. We figured Dave's good friends with Henry, so he ought to be able to get Logan for us. Bauer's already turned us down, but I bet Rip Shearer would come on. I know Rip's always had a reputation of being a nice guy.
You got enough Southern Miss pull that you think they could get Coach Bauer on?
He turned him down, James. James.
Oh, okay.
James reached out and he turned us down. But he can try again.
Yeah, come on. We're gonna have Steve Logan.
Did he get a response?
He did. He James knows Bauer's wife, and Bauer's wife asked Jeff, and Jeff declined through his wife.
Gotcha.
There you have it. So
he said, He said, why would I talk to some East Carolina folks? We always wore their butts out anyway.
I think Bauer's kind of been pretty private by and large since he got out of football.
Yeah.
So, but it would be cool to have him on, particularly with Minner and Logan and Shear. I mean, that would be mid-90s Conference USA. Maybe John L. A little something to get old John L. Smith.
Oh, yeah. From
throw him in there, too.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. I want to ask John L. about that play right before the half. Or I guess maybe it was at the end of the game, actually. But when Michigan State.
Oh, okay.
Michigan State at the Horseshoe, remember that?
No, I'll tell you what I do remember. I remember Michigan State when John L. Smith was there blowing a game to Louisiana Tech. And it was a weird play at the end of that game. Do you remember that?
I don't. Oh, I take that back. The Horseshoe that I was referencing, or the situation, that sideline reporter asked him, like, Coach, what do you think about that half? And he said, so I think the kids are playing the butts off, and the coaches keep screwing it up.
Well,
all right. Well.
Well, guys, we're running close to an hour. In fact, Johnny Gardner says if you get Logan on, you could probably get Jeff to join. Johnny, he's one of the smartest viewers and listeners we have. No doubt about it. Probably
maybe that's kind of what James approached Bauer about, is if we could get Logan, would he be interested in coming on? And he kind of said no, but we can always try again. Sometimes you just ask people enough times, you catch them in the right mood, they'll say yes. But just Bauer and Logan would be legendary. Bubba, yeah. That goes back to mine and yours idea about doing a versus podcast where you have like a Yankees and a Red Sox player on, or a Alabama and an Auburn player on, and you talk about the rivalry or a specific game.
Yep. Yeah, I'm sure Coach Logan would love to talk about that 96 Southern Miss game.
Maybe the 95 would be more when he'd want to talk about.
Oh, my God. It's 96 was like, what, 28-7 ultimately? It was 28-0 at half.
But it all looked, hey, without that one, would we have went on the road and beat Miami the following week? Sometimes you never know.
Exactly.
And then Coach Logan could go home and get some rest because he had not slept for the past 9 days.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you one thing. We were talking about airport. We'll end it this way. Speaking of airport games, that Miami game is one of the biggest I ever remember people talking about going to. That was Greenville, I believe, where we flew into, and a lot of people went to that night, or at least they said they did anyway. So go out and support the Pirates this Saturday night. Got a good feeling about the – I know it's on the road. Memphis is a good team. It's not like they're a dog, but still we're a much improved team. Let's go out and support the Pirates. And by the way, fans, one more thing. Please show up for the Cincinnati game. I mean – this is the last game of the regular season. We need people butts in the seats. No excuses. We're winning football games now. Tell your wife, tell your husband, this is one day when we're not going to be doing housework or anything. We're going to be at the ball game.
Yeah. I mean, at worst, we're playing for win number 6. At best, we're playing for win number 8. And exactly. Most likely against a top 5 team. So
wear your ugly sweater.
Exactly.
I want to see Kyle in an ugly sweater. I'll wear an ugly sweater if you'll wear one, my friend.
I might even wear an ugly dress.
For national television.
Absolutely. Why not?
All right.
I'll wear a big blue polka dot dress like the mama bear from the Berenstain Bears.
if that's what it takes to beat Cincinnati, I'll wear one. Oh, my God.
Awesome.
That's hilarious. That's good stuff,
you,
man.
You can dress like Brother Bear.
And, okay.
Did he wear pants?
I'm sorry. I thought it was Halloween. We came to the wrong holiday, folks. Wrong holiday. So.
And remember, on Thursday night, we will hear from Rini Ngolia. He had the SMU-Memphis game as Memphis took down the Mustangs. So we'll get his take on Ron Silverfield's Memphis Tigers. And we'll also talk a lot of other football as well.
Sounds good, guys. Thank you so much for being on tonight. So we'll be back with in the locker room tomorrow night with Ryan Jones. You've been watching the TSO Locker Room with Jaira. Wilson right here on the Sports Objective. Good night, everybody, and go Pirates.
Yo, what's going on, y'all? This is Udon Cheek, assistant track and field coach at East Carolina University. You are plugged into the Sports Objective Podcast. If you are a fan, you are plugged into the right place. And if you're really a fan, you will share that link. My heart is purple and gold. I'm a pirate down to my soul. And I don't back down, not at all. Find out when the cannons explode. Boom!